Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, as always, we've got a good martini for conservatives, bad, and a crazy one. But the crazy one's actually pretty darn good today, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's start with the good news. And over the summer, we've watched members of the Congressional Black Caucus get upset with President Obama. We've seen even the media go on a rampage about how they either don't think he's gone far enough or just hasn't been effective. Of course, earlier this week, we saw one of the bluest congressional districts in the country go for the Republican for the first time since the same day Warren G. Harding got elected in 1920. So things not looking all that great for the president. We're happy to report we've got more evidence that that's the case. And that's a new Field poll out in California. Field poll, not exactly a conservative's best friend, but for the most part, pretty independent. And for the first time since the president's taken office, they've got his approval rating under 50% at 46%. Now, before we get too excited, that's still higher than his disapproval, which is at 44%. And if you break down the demographics, you don't get, I would say, not a ton of optimism that California would actually be in play next year. But the fact that even in really one of the bluest states in the country, the president is underwater, at least in terms of not having half the approval rating of the state, that's pretty bad for him and means that he's got to play a lot of defense next year, probably in a lot of places he didn't expect to. And that's got to be good for conservatives.
Yeah, there, even if California is not in play in 2012, if a Republican wins California, they win the election. They win probably in a landslide. If it's in play, that's still fantastic news for Republicans, because you probably could argue that it hasn't been since 88. There's been a really competitive year for Republican presidential candidate in California. One, it tells us that Obama really is in trouble just about everywhere. I haven't seen anything out of Illinois, but with this coming on the heels of the New York 9 congressional district race, Scott Brown's victory, it shows that the Obama years have not been good to the Democrat brand. Republicans were, you know, very briefly willing to give Obama the benefit of the doubt, and by the time the stimulus came through, that kind of had evaporated. Independents fell off the bandwagon throughout 2009 and 2010, and by the midterms, the, you know, independents had kind of shifted to Republicans. I think what's kind of interesting in these polls is you're starting to see Democrats get real frustration with Obama. Now, I don't have much doubt that the vast majority of Democrats will vote for Barack Obama in 2012. This means California should be a, you know, more or less safe Democrat state. But if once it becomes kind of socially acceptable to be disappointed in Obama, that makes it that much tougher to win over the independents. In other words, the independents and swing voters and centrists and all these folks who are not really committed to a particular point of view the way we are and probably a good chunk of our listeners are, God knows what sways them. Some days it could be whatever the latest headline is. Some day it might be their personal financial or economic situation. Some days it might just be gas prices. It could be just this general psychological mood that they're in when they walk into the polling place. If not even Democrats really want to make the argument that Obama's done a bang-up job, then that takes that off. And it's much harder to believe that independents will suddenly swing back to Obama if even the base of his party is kind of disappointed with what they've seen during his presidency.
Well, on to martini number two now. And a couple of weeks ago, we noted how Solyndra, the solar panel manufacturing company out in the San Francisco Bay Area, went bankrupt despite over $500 million in taxpayer funds through the stimulus. Considered one of the crown jewels of the Obama Clean and Renewable Energy Jobs Creation Program, which obviously did not go very well. And so we just at the time seemed to chalk it up, I think, to the fact that, well, the president, you know, wanted to push this agenda and his green, environmentally friendly technology, and it just didn't work because there's no market for it. Well, unfortunately for Obama and the rest of us taxpayers, the real story is a little more sordid than that. Here's a caller that actually called into the Mark Levin show last week, and it was replayed on last night's program, explaining why we're now seeing congressional investigators looking into this.
While we were out there, while we were building it, because it is a $500 million plant, everyone already knew that China had developed a more inexpensive way to manufacture these solar panels. Everyone knew that the plant wouldn't work, but they still did it. They still built it.
And, of course, we now have found out through emails, Jim, that Obama's own budget office said, don't rush this. Let the full evaluation take place before you schedule the photo op and announce this massive grant for this process. The Bush administration had flagged it as something not to be done at that time. Nonetheless, the Obama administration, of course, is blaming the Bushies, big surprise, for this even being on the platter for them to consider when they came into office. So now we have congressional hearings that have taken place, and just like Fast and Furious and the gun smuggling fiasco, the administration's playing defense again, and it's not looking good.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting the defenses we see in these circumstances. On Fast and the Furious, it's like, oh, how could we have known? Nobody knew anything. As far as we knew, this was a fine idea. And now with this one, it sounds like there were lots of red flags and they were all ignored, etc. I think where this hurts Obama, it's twofold. The first is, you notice that in terms of the entire argument about the American Jobs Act, to foreshadow our third martini,
right?
That they don't use the word stimulus anymore. And people had observed that Nancy Pelosi and a whole bunch of other Democrats will not use the S word when they talk about the need for more spending. So the concept of stimulus itself is now discredited. Now I think you can have good spending, you can have bad spending, you can have good infrastructure. You know, it's not necessarily what you spend on, I think, matters a lot. But the very concept of it is now associated with waste and mismanagement and ideas that are never going to work and crony capitalism and earmarks and all this other stuff. So along comes Obama, needing basically stimulus 2.0, basically needing the economy is in lousy shape. In his mind, we need one more big spending bill, because I don't know about you, Greg, I'm completely convinced that we are just one hiring veterans job credit, tax credit away from full economic recovery. That's the problem, Greg. That's all we needed. And along comes this story, which basically is, oh, by the way, in the last stimulus, we made these green jobs, one of Obama's favorite initiatives, turned out to basically go up in flames and put taxpayers on the hook for an enormous amount of money. And nobody really has any good answers as to why nobody, why all these red flags were ignored and why everybody was convinced that this. And oh, by the way, when companies go out of business, they don't create any jobs. I mean, Soylinder's Green does not employ people, Greg. It doesn't employ people. Not only is this a bad story, it's coming along at the absolute worst possible time for Obama, which is, bad news for him, good news for Republicans, but I think just this overall, just bad news for the country, that the stimulus is pretty much as bad as we thought it was.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, obviously political considerations trumping economic considerations, which was the whole point, supposedly, of the stimulus plan. But you mentioned the American Jobs Act, and of course the president told us ad nauseum, we have to pass this bill immediately. And the Democrats on Capitol Hill were so inspired by him last Thursday, Jim, that nobody on the Democratic side actually introduced the American Jobs Act, even after the first day or so after he actually unveiled the principles in the Rose Garden. So Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert decided, well, if the Democrats have no intention of actually introducing the American Jobs Act of 2011, I'm going to do it. And obviously the conditions and the terms and the provisions in there are far, far different. Tax cuts and so forth are in there.
It just eliminates the corporate corporate tax, I understand. That's it. That's all it does. If you had to say what idea would make Barack Obama break out in hives, I think this would probably be up there.
So now, of course, I guess we can say, as you pointed out in the Jolt today, Jim, we have to pass the American Jobs Act now. And unfortunately, the president is out there begging people to love him and pass his version of the bill, which doesn't seem to be real popular on either side of the aisle, because you have a lot of Senate Democrats now who say they don't want to do this thing en masse. They want to do it either a la carte or not at all, which shows you that we're heading into an election year and that the president really had no intention of ever actually passing this thing.
Yeah, Greg, pass the bill, right? Pass the American Jobs Act. We're with you, Mr. President. Pass the American Jobs Act. Obviously, it's funny. Louie Gohmert, the fastest man on Capitol Hill. I think the more significant kind of symbolism of this, or for those of us, look, Obama goes out and has about as high a profile of format as possible to say, here is my solution, pass this bill. And it becomes a chant, pass the bill. Now, I remember saying, I wish John Boehner had just stood up and said, all right, Mr. President, we have a quorum here. Where's the bill? Because Obama had not yet written it down in legislative form. Clearly they had their talking points. Clearly they had the speech. I think the next morning they kind of had a fact sheet, kind of summary of it. But the idea that we will create jobs tomorrow. And wait a minute, no. We can't pass it because it's not written today. You can't start the chant, pass the bill, until the bill is written. And so I think the fact that Gohmert kind of observed the fact that Obama is much – he went to the campaign to pressure Congress quicker – then he went to actually writing the bill that he wants passed. And that's, you know, the perfect example of putting the cart before the horse. It kind of suggests that, as many of us speculated, that the jobs bill isn't meant to be passed. It's meant to give Obama an issue. It's meant to give him a scapegoat when he heads into re-election. And he can say, oh, you know, if they passed the Americans Jobs Act, we would have unemployment of 4% right now. You know, I mean, ridiculous promises, but it helps him spread the blame around, which is, Greg, I don't know about you. That's kind of a depressing re-election strategy.
Absolutely.
He's basically given up on getting anything better. It's not like he really thinks it's kind of fascinating that he doesn't say, you know what? What is the best thing I can get through John Boehner's house? How could I pick off like 70 Republicans and, you know, all of my Democrats and get it through the Senate with Reid, and I could sign and I could say I have a genuine accomplishment? That never crosses his mind. He's got to fight with these guys. And, you know, we've elected a very, very, very partisan president.
That's true. And, you know, hope and change is going to sound a lot different from, hey, that Mitt Romney or Rick Perry and all those congressional Republicans, boy. They're evil. Vote for me.
Report them.
Yes. Report them to attackwatch.com. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.